Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you this morning. And let's ask the Lord to help us as we spend a few moments together. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity. I do ask you, Lord, that you allow, Lord, these next few moments to be used by the Holy Spirit. Father, through your written word, may you show us what we need to see in our own personal lives and just some good biblical principles for practical living. Things that, Lord, if we're not doing, that we would see that we should be, and if we are, Lord, to keep it up. So, Lord, I pray that you'd give wisdom and discernment, and, Father, allow your perfect will to be accomplished. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm in the book of Proverbs 25, and down in verse 26, been going at this theme for some time now, biblical principles for practical living. And one of the thoughts I have is simply this. We as Christians sometimes, because we're still humans, we don't lose our humanity when we get born again. We have a tendency, and all of us I think would agree to this, we have a tendency to allow our emotions to determine our course of actions. And many times we, maybe not on purpose, but we inadvertently ignore biblical principles. We say things in the heat of the moment. We do things out of sheer emotion or fear or anger or joy or whatever, and they're not truly principles that we're living out. They're emotions, they're responses instead of reactions. And so what I'm trying to do is just remind us, going through the book of Proverbs, of biblical principles, things that we ought to be applying in our daily lives as a principle, not as an emotional response, but as a practical application, as a pre-programmed, if you would, predetermined course of action that has its parameters, its boundaries rooted in God's Word. Well, like I said, we're in chapter 25 of the book of Proverbs, verse 26, and the Bible tells us there, a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. Now, a little bit of an unusual verse in the latter part of it, something we don't normally think about of a troubled fountain or a corrupt spring, but when we stop and think about it, there's really basically three possibilities of, if you would, interpreting or taking this verse. A righteous man falling down before the wicked. Here are three different possibilities, perhaps we could look at that. Maybe that's one of the three, or maybe it's all of these. Or maybe you have a different idea, but I'm going to share some thoughts that I have with you, and I've borrowed these from someone else. But basically, number one, is for the righteous to fall into sin in the sight of the wicked, for them to do anything that's unbecoming of their profession of Christ. That is to weaken the cause of Christ. So if you would this morning, a righteous man falling down before the wicked, he's involved in sin. He ends up weakening the cause of Christ. Now, we don't damage Jesus' reputation. It's well intact. And his reputation is not hinged upon our actions. But we do give the name of Christianity a black eye sometimes, if you would. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And of course, we know what an ambassador is, someone who is sent out from one country to another and they're representing that homeland. Well, we are ambassadors of Christ, and so we're representing Christ. And so when we fall before the wicked, we end up falling into sin, and as we would say, and you really don't fall into it. You make a choice to go into it, but we know the terminology is often seen as that. When we go into sin and we allow ourselves to participate in sinful activities before the world, we in essence are causing a weakness to take place in the representation that we're supposed to have with the world. We just have a responsibility, you know, as parents, as parents, if you allow your children to see you lose your temper, as we would say, and come unglued, you know, you're causing harm, not only to your own reputation, but you're causing harm to the cause of Christ, because now that child's going to say, well, I guess that's okay, that's the accepted norm, unless you immediately deal with it and confess it as a fault and as a sin and seek not only God's forgiveness but your child's forgiveness, that child is going to accept that as, well, that's just the way things happen sometimes. And so when I do it, it's okay because I saw mom or I saw dad do it. it's the same thing in the workplace. As a Christian, everybody, they know you're a Christian. They know that you profess Christ. And they see you do something. They hear you say something. They hear you mention about watching something that's certainly not what you ought to be. And they take note of that. Perhaps they say something and question you. Perhaps they don't. But you're representing Christ, and when you fall before the wicked, and the wicked sees that, that perhaps could be here the meaning that you bring great harm or ill reproach upon the name of Christ. There's another possibility, and that's this: for the righteous to be oppressed or to be run down and trampled upon by the violence and the subtlety of evil men, and for them to displace and thrust Christianity into obscurity, that just causes trouble. You know, that causes trouble. The Bible says when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Proverbs 29:2. In Proverbs 28:12, the Bible says, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. So for a righteous person, a Christian, to be oppressed, to be overcome by the wicked, it doesn't bode well. And it doesn't give a good representation. There's another possibility, and that's it. This, for the righteous to be cowardly and to submit to the wicked and to be afraid of opposing them and their agenda. Basically, if you would, just to yield to them. Someone said, I think it was Edmund Burke said, all that evil needs to do to prevail is for good men to do nothing. When and if that takes place, that is as a troubled fountain or a corrupt spring. It's a bad reflection upon the name of Christ, and it's a discouragement to good men who are trying to do right when they see other men do nothing, say nothing. And we live in a day and age where, I tell you what, it's becoming politically incorrect to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. But, you know, we need to get to the point in this world today. You know, the old phrase I grew up with, you know, if you get hair-lipped over it, just deal with it. And, you know, I don't mean to be antagonistic with that, but I do mean to be sort of blunt with it. You know, we Christians need to go ahead and just buck up and say, listen, this is what I believe. You can like it, lump it, do whatever you want to do, but this is what I believe. We don't have to have a bad attitude about it, but we do need to quit apologizing for our faith. We definitely need to quit apologizing for taking a stand and saying, thus saith the Lord. We need to speak that which we have seen and heard of the Lord. And if somebody gets mad at it, if somebody says they get offended, you know what? That wasn't said to make you mad. It wasn't said to offend you. And I'm not going to stop saying it because you got offended. I'm going to proclaim the truth. And I guess you'll just have to deal with it. I'm going to try to have a good attitude about it. I'm going to try to have a good disposition. But I'm not going to change my position because you don't like it. And I'm not going to change my position because you attack my so-called bad disposition. You know, if we have a bad disposition, we need to correct that. No doubt about that. The Lord certainly didn't have one. But the Lord didn't compromise his position on right and wrong because somebody accused him of something. And so he stood firm. You know, we Christians, we need to stand firm, especially in the day and age which we live. We need that. So that's a possibility here. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and as a corrupt spring. Now, I don't know which one of these, or if all of these, or perhaps another idea would be applicable here, but the truth of it is, I think all of these statements or all the possibilities I've mentioned are certainly possibly an application of this verse, and perhaps all of them can be allowed, and certainly ought to be challenged by those. And so the righteous man, we're righteous in Christ. We're not righteous because of our righteousness, but we're righteous in Christ. Our righteousness is found in Christ. And as such, we have an obligation and we have an opportunity. And may God give us the wherewithal. May he give us the gumption. May he give us the backbone, the character, the tenacity, the willingness. And as the old phrase I remember growing up, the dead dogged determination just to stand up for right. And whatever comes, it comes, but don't cut and run. Don't give up. Don't silence yourself and stand up for the truth. We need that. Boy, we need that in today's society. And may God help us to be bold, absolutely bold, in our presentation of Jesus Christ. Not rude, not hateful, not condescending to others, but bold. May God give us that boldness. Well, let's move on to verse number 27. There's another principle I'd like us to consider this morning. And that verse says this: it is not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not good. So it's not good to eat much honey. So men to search their own glory, that's not good either. That's not glory. We live in a society today. There's an epidemic of this activity in our society today, where men and women, human nature is, look how good I am. You know, fallen nature craves to be lifted up. The proper attitude would certainly be found in Romans 7:24, where we read, the Bible says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Paul understood, I'm just a wretched man, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I found myself in the last several months here, for years and years and years, I'd pray and I'd say, Lord, help me. Help me to live right. Help me to do this and help me to do that. Lord, help me. And I got to reading and I got to thinking about it, oh, wretched man that I am. And then I got to thinking about that verse, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And I thought, well, if I'm a wretched man and that in my flesh there doesn't dwell anything that's good, I don't just need help. I need to be enabled. You know, to say that I need help suggests that I've got part of the problem licked and I just need a little bit of help to fix it. Well, the truth of it is, in my flesh, I don't add anything to the battle. I'm completely dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't need help. I need to be enabled. You know, that's a different way of looking at it. And, you know, it's a hard habit to break. I find myself still, though I'm trying to stop saying, Lord, help me, but enable me, I find myself more often than not saying, Lord, help me. And I go back and I say, no, Lord, enable me. I need to be enabled. I don't have anything to add to this of my own strength, of my own flesh. I need you desperately. It's got to be all you, Lord, not me. Romans chapter 27:2, Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife and or vain glory. That word vain glory means self-conceit. Let nothing be done through strife or self-conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. That word lowliness is humility. In humility of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. You know, we're not to search out our own glory. We're not to... You know, we are living a day and age where people are taking these selfies, this idea of taking a picture of yourself, and I'm not against that, but it shows you society. It's almost, you know, look at me, 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 look at me. You know, and the Christian ought to be saying, look at Jesus, look at Jesus, look at Jesus, look at Jesus. There, but by the grace of God, look at Jesus, look at Jesus, look at Jesus. Because it is Christ in us that is the hope of glory, not me and myself. I don't have anything worth anything. Oh, wretched man that I am. And so this morning, it's not good to eat much honey, no. And it's not good for men to search their own glory. It's not a good thing. To examine themselves, to find out about how good or how talented or, you know, how well... verse they are in some subject, like, look at me, I'm the expert. Well, that's not good. It just leads to vanity and pride, and of course these things the Lord speaks against so much and so often in the Bible. And so that's a good principle. You know, quit looking at yourself and trying to blow yourself up in the eyes of men. Try to just you decrease and let Christ increase, and that'll be a pattern that the Lord will be pleased with. Well, we have time this morning, I think, for just one other verse, 28. Verse 28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Well, this is talking about the character of a man. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Of course, you know, when we read in our Bibles in the olden days, a city, a small community, would be a fairly small lot of land, and they would build a wall around that city. And of course, that wall was there for protection. The enemy would come, and so they would have a way to defend themselves. And obviously, if it wasn't a wall or if there was a breach in the wall and the enemy approached, guess where they would concentrate their effort to overcome the city? Where the breach in the wall was. where it was broken down. You know, and as we look at our life today, when we have an enemy, Satan, who walks about seeking whom he may devour, and when he gets to your life or my life and he sees that our wall, our life is one that has no rule over our own spirit. We have no character, no discipline, no integrity. And there's a weakness in our life. Satan picks up on that breach in our character. And guess where he's going to attack us? Guess where he's going to hit us? We're like a city without walls, without protection. And so this morning there's a practical application. We need to work on our character. You know, living the life of a Christian is not just simply through character, but every Christian ought to have character. Self-discipline is not what we need simply to have the spiritual walk with Christ, but every Christian who has a walk with Christ needs to have self-discipline. And so this morning we need to have character. We need, those things are important, discipline, self-discipline. All of us, I suppose, would have to admit to ourselves there are weaknesses, breaches in my character, my wall. I have places of weakness in my life. You know, we need to give time and attention to mend those areas and to fortify those, because sure as the world, that's where Satan's going to attack us and more than likely going to defeat us in those areas where we're the weakest. And so the wise among us would say, you know what, I do have some weak points. And I'm going to go to God, and I'm going to ask God, and I'm going to seek God to enable me, not just to help me, but to enable me to strengthen these weak areas and help me to sustain the ones that are strong and give him the glory for it and give me strength to fortify those areas of my life that are weak. And God will do that, amen? God will do that. God is interested in our success more than we are. And I dare say most of us, if not all of us, are mightily interested in our own success, and yet God is far more interested than we are. So may the Lord give us wisdom and discernment this morning. Here's three principles. May God help us to put these into practice if they're not already there, and if they are, may God help us to strengthen those and even be better at applying those. I thank you for taking time to listen, and you have a great day.